Well, good evening, everyone. How's everybody doing today? Everybody tired? Yep. Are good? Okay, all right. Good. Well, I've got jokes this time. Last time I forgot the jokes. All righty. They're all dad jokes in my mind. All right, here we go. It says, Ruth is the only person that I show mercy to. If I didn't have her, I'd be completely ruthless. Yeah, that's a good one, right? All right. A professor was giving a student his final grade. The professor told the student he got an 8. The student, quite surprised, asked the professor, out of what? Mercy. Out of mercy. You got 8 out of mercy. All right. Next one. How do you know that mercy is a true blonde? Because heroes never die. D-Y-E. Dad jokes, I'm telling you. All right, last one. All right, it says a husband and a father at court begged for mercy. He said, please have mercy. I have a wife, a mother-in-law, 2 dogs, and 5 kids. I am sorry, Mr. Brown, but you have served your sentence and paid your debt. You are free now. Amen. That's probably the best one, right? Because none of them really that good. Amen. All right, read a quick story. This is about September 11th. It says, Sojo John. It was 8:40 a.m. when Sojo was working at the fax machine when he heard an explosion. He then heard the next explosion and found himself surrounded by chaos, screaming and fire. All he could think was, where was his wife? She was in the other tower that fell. Sojo was very worried and was preparing for the worst when his phone rang, but on the other end was his pregnant wife, whose life was spared. That night, they prayed and surrendered their lives to God. Death and suffering can bring us to the point where we come to understand how much we need God. We need to realize how much you need God's mercy every moment of your lives. Sojo and his wife had not accepted Christ, but his mercy was there. God's mercy spared their lives until they accepted Christ as their personal Savior. So what is mercy? I got a few definitions. Mercy is when you are spared from the bad things you deserve. Another definition is an act of exercise or mercy or favor. Another one is pity, compassion manifested towards a person's distress. The act of sparing or the forbearance of a violent act expected, such as a prisoner crying for mercy. But the best one, I think, is mercy can be characterized as compassionate treatment of those in distress, whether the distress is caused by the guilt or penalty of sin. God's mercy is there to help. How has God shown you mercy within the last week? How has God shown you the mercy last year? How did God show you mercy when you and I accepted Christ, if you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Stephen was a bold evangelist who was not afraid to preach the gospel, knowing the dangerous opposition. His courage while facing death, he still had the attitude of mercy. In Acts 7:59, and I'll read it, Acts 7:59, it says, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. She was telling not to blame it on them. He had mercy. But what about Jonah? Jonah was a little bit different. Jonah was disobedient. He was disobedient to God's calling. He made the choice to go to Tarshish rather than Nineveh. The thing about mercy is, the only time you need mercy when you're doing something wrong. That's when mercy is important. So there has to be something that you're not doing to have mercy. 1 John 1:19 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is used more so usually in salvation, but sin is still sin, and forgiveness is still forgiveness. Let us pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, God, and we thank you. We just thank you for the day that you've allowed us to have, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. I always want to say that. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Pray that you just meet with us here tonight, Lord. Pray that you move me out of the way and you get in the way and just tell your people what you want them to hear, Lord, please. Pray that that one soul that's not saved here, that's sitting here, Lord, or online, Lord, just pray that you just work in their hearts, Lord. Pray that you just be with us again tonight. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jonah, let's go to Jonah real quick. Jonah 1:1. Jonah's going to be the topic for the most part. Not so much the well, the story of the well, but the mercy within what's going on in this life. You have Jonah, you have the Ninevites, and you have the sailors. Each one of them had mercy shown to them. Jonah 1:1. We're going to read here real quick. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come upon before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. Then mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it on them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of the heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. They said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that ye the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wroth and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wroth and was tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. We read that Jonah was disobedient. So when you're disobedient, we need mercy. But without mercy, without repentance, you cannot have mercy. And I think that's the biggest thing. If without the repentance, there is no mercy, and it eventually will turn to wrath if you stay in that and stay in that without repentance. So did Jonah deserve God's mercy? We always ask, well, he didn't deserve this, he didn't deserve that. You know what I've learned? It's God's business who he wants to give mercy unto and who he doesn't want to give mercy unto. It is God's business, not our business. Do we deserve God's mercy? Most of us will say, no, we don't. And I think I heard someone say, no. No, we don't deserve God's mercy, but we want it. We would like it, and we still ask for it. But to get to that point, there's got to be repentance. You have to ask for it. So why did Jonah receive the same mercy that Stephen, as I mentioned earlier? Stephen was a faithful man of God. He was a missionary or evangelist, however you want to call him then. He preached the gospel. He allowed folks to get saved because of his preaching. And he was, and even in his death, he had mercy upon the people that stoned him. Stephen. So why did he deserve to get the same mercy as Stephen? We don't know. We'll never know. We have no idea. But there are reasons why, and I want to just bring some out that I think could be. So you talk about, if you go back to verse 7, it said, and they said, every one of his fellows come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and it fell upon Jonah. So they knew Jonah was actually going to be the man that was causing the problems, the reason why the storms were there. They knew that, but they also knew that he had a God that was going to allow him to fix it. And I believe they knew that. Jonah started out going in the direction of Tarshish. I can't say that. I want to say applesauce. You have anybody know Brady Bunch? You know what I'm talking about? Applesauce? Remember that episode? Sorry. Okay. Bad dad joke. Y'all got to see it now. Some of y'all are too young. All right. So I looked up where Tarshish was, and there's controversy of where the actual location is. Some say it's in Lebanon, some say it's in Spain, some say it's in Great Britain. Tarshish is the place, but they do all agree that it's in the Mediterranean Sea. It doesn't matter where Tarshish is at. Jonah was going the wrong way. It doesn't matter. I mean, he could have been right next to Israel, which is probably the best description of where it could be, right next to Israel. So why did Jonah go to Tarshish rather than go to Nineveh? His disobedience was already there, right? You already saw that by getting on the boat, paying for it. He paid the fare. So he was going to Tarshish. He made his mind up to disobey. He still, God saved him when he was on the boat. You may think he was thrown over the boat and he was swallowed by a whale. Well, mercy, God's mercy is there as well. When he was in the whale, I'm assuming there's some type of acid that should have eaten him up inside because of the whale and being in the whale's belly. Why did God give mercy on him? We don't know. I have no idea. So maybe Jonah wanted to be close to home. He just wanted to be close to home by Israel. He was a Hebrew. He was a Jew. So he maybe just wanted to be close to Israel. I don't know. You know, some of us are close to home and don't ever want to leave. That's when you get comfortable. You get too comfortable being close to home and you're not doing what God wants you to be. Sometimes you got to step out. Step out there, like me behind this pulpit. I like to hide behind the pulpit. But step out by faith and do God's calling. Some of us have been called to do things. Some others have been called to stay right here. But wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, answer the call. That's the biggest thing. But Jonah, he still had that call. He had that call to go to Nineveh. And he went to Tarshish. If God has called you to do something, go somewhere or serve him in any way that may not be your desire, still go. Don't run the opposite way. God will find you. Jonah fled from God and his calling. He got on a boat to Tarshish and not Nineveh. He tried to escape God's calling of preaching, but mostly he was just disrespectful and disobedient to God. That sounds like a lot of folks today. It really does. But we are the same. We do the same things, but we cannot look at Jonah and say, why did God use him even with this rebellious mindset, and why did God show him so much mercy? And again, I say, that's not our business to question that. That's God's business. And when we do that, that's just us being a little selfish, thinking, why not me? Okay. The answer is God is in control. He gave Jonah an abundant amount of mercy throughout the whole trip. When in the boat, he could have tipped the boat over. When he was in the belly of the whale, he could have been eaten and swallowed. When in the city, he could have been killed by the people of Nineveh. But God's mercy is justified because he is God. We should not question God's decision or who receives his mercy to who he does and does not show mercy to. But God was not only merciful to Jonah, but to the sailors also. They called on their gods, and their gods could not help them. In Jonah 1:5, Jonah proclaimed God, but even the sailors knew that he was doing the wrong thing, and to get rid of him, they put him overboard in Jonah 1:5. God's mercy reached out to the sailors, even though they had believed in other gods or gods. Jonah 1:14, His mercy was sufficient for them in Jonah 1:15. Maybe Jonah's disobedience and his attempt to go to Tarshish was to reach those sailors. Who knows? We don't know. I mean, maybe that's why it was. We may never know, but they did hear about the Almighty God and his goodness. The sailors feared God. They even offered a sacrifice and made vows to God, 1:16. And maybe they reached out to their families afterwards. Maybe that's what it was all about. We don't know. That's not our place to decide. Those are the things that we may never know until we get to heaven. God's mercy is always available when we need it. You know, my friends, God gives us mercy every day. God gave mercy to Nineveh and the nation of Assyria as a whole, when it's just and holy. And that is, again, God's business. We got to understand mercy is not our business. Mercy is God's business. Even though they were cruel, they shed innocent blood and worshiped idols, there was mercy. Jonah preached and warned the Ninevites, and they believed God's message and repented. Jonah 3, 5, and 10. Ninevites were spared from judgment. It should be a motivation for all people to seek God's mercy and then to choose a path of righteousness. But God is the most merciful when we are the most repentant. If we do not ask for his forgiveness or repent of our sins, their mercy may be turned to wrath. The longer we live in sin, the likelihood of mercy will turn to wrath, but that is, again, God's business. I want to emphasize it is God's business who gets mercy and who doesn't. We should be thankful for the mercy that we receive and just be grateful for what we get. Luke 6:36 says, "But be ye therefore merciful as your Father is also merciful." God is merciful to us always, and it always will be, as long as we're repentant. Read another story about 9/11. This one's about Brian Birdwell. So while he was at work, there was a huge explosion as an American Airlines Flight 77 crashed into the building where he was working. 6% of his body was burned to the degree, and he was burned beyond recognition. People were trying to help him out, but the physical pain was too much. He wanted God just to end his life. He even said goodbye to his son, which made him realize how God must have felt saying goodbye to his son before the resurrection. After almost 40 reconstructive surgeries, he survived and also ran for Texas State Senate. That's mercy. That's God's mercy. God spared Brian's life, and he had a productive life. That's just mercy. But the greatest story of mercy is Jesus. The Jesus on the cross. He sacrificed his sacrifice of his life for our eternal heavenly salvation, eternal life, was merciful. His mercy reached us and anyone else that's willing to go. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." We should follow Christ's example of mercy. Again, think of how God has shown his mercy to you today. How has God shown your mercy to you today?